Welcome, everyone, to our Permanent Community Impact Fund Board meeting today. Chairman Wells has asked me. He's a little bit under the weather this morning. He may be listening in. I'm not sure. But he's asked me to stand in his stead to be to chair this meeting this morning. So we'll start this meeting. It's April 4th, 2024. It's our CIB meeting, and it's now 9:01. I'd just like to welcome everyone who's with us today. We appreciate you taking the time to be online and to be involved in the CIB. We have a good agenda today. So with that, we're going to get started. Candace, is there anything that you'd like to – I know we have a briefing, if you want to start that. Or do we want to go through and
introductions first.
Introduce. Okay, so I'm – we'll start. I'm Commissioner Jerry Taylor, Garfield County. I represent Fife County AOG. Who has access to maybe want to call on everybody? Candace, can you do that?
Yes.
Okay.
Kurt Slaw.
Okay. I'm first up, as always. Kurt Slaw, I'm the Deputy State Treasurer for the state, and I'm the treasurer's designee on this board.
Thank you.
Laura Hansen.
Good morning, everyone. Laura Hansen. I am the state planning coordinator and the representative for the governor's office of planning and budget.
Thank you, Laura.
Is Scott Bartholomew on?
Not yet.
Okay. Commissioner Jeff Lytle.
Scott's here.
Okay, go, Scott.
you're fine. Scott Bartholomew, Sixth County AOG representative, Sand Peak Commissioner.
Thanks, Scott. Welcome.
Commissioner Lytle.
Good morning. Jack Lytle, Daggett County Commissioner and representing the Uinta Basin AOG.
Thank you, Jack. Welcome.
Mayor Baker.
Mayor Dean Baker, I represent Uinta County.
Thank you.
Commissioner Miles.
Greg Miles, Duchesne County Commissioner, representing Duchesne County.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Commissioner Brown.
Ralph Brown, Sevier County Commissioner, representing Sevier County.
Thank you for joining, Commissioner. Sorry.
No, sorry. Commissioner Adams.
Good morning. This is Bruce Adams. I'm from sunny Monticello. I can see all four corners of the state from here with the very clear sky, no pollution. I represent southeastern Utah AOG.
Good morning, Bruce. Glad to have you here.
Mr. Zanotti.
Commissioner Adams, find your own way of addressing your community. This is Nagi Zanotti from sunny and beautiful St. George, blue sky, 75-degree temperature, no wind, no rain, and I'm representing UDOT Commission. Thank you.
Thank you, Nagi.
I am uncertain as to whether Chairman Wells is listening or has audio, but I believe that was his intent.
I'm listening in, and I have audio. Thank you.
there's Chairman Barry White Wells.
We're glad to have him with us, even though he's a little under the weather, and wish him well. Hopes he gets better soon. Okay.
He sounds like Trace Lawrence to me. I'm not sure it's him.
You never know.
Anyone else?
That's it. We have a full, fully attended board. So thank you, board. They are all here. And with that, your call, but I can do the briefing.
Yes, would you please?
Yes. This is the first and only review meeting for the third trimester of fiscal year 2024. So we won't have a May meeting. On this agenda, and this is the reason why we could do it all in one, it includes two new projects, one pending project, that is ready for the board's review to be funded today. One supplemental project request, that one is also eligible to be funded today. One special consideration on today's agenda, that one can also take action today. The other two new projects will be reviewed, as is the protocol, and they will be funded in June. On the financial sheet, indicated in yellow, the projects are listed that will be considered today. The new projects are shown on your screen. The available revenue, we'll scroll down to that. Surprise, surprise, you know, I hope you don't get whiplash, but because we had revenue come in and we also had some of the bigger projects reduce their requests, there is sufficient funding through the revenue that we received in February to fund everything that you see on the agenda. We won't fund everything today, but there is sufficient revenue. The revenue that has come in since then, since through March, we've funded everything that we funded in February, and we were able to do so. There's $9,599,000 in revenue and $7,747,000 in bonus revenue. We haven't funded anything, but if you do, what you see on this financial sheet shows that we will not be in the black. There are additional financial numbers that Ms. Kaylee Beck, and she's with us today, has put together, and if we'll show that on the screen, Ms. Beck can speak to that.
I think Candace just did a really great job. I don't have anything else to say. This is a report that just shows a forecast, so even though you do have money through the end of this trimester to fund all the projects that will be presented to you, you will earn more revenue in the month of March. We haven't received that revenue yet from the feds, and then you'll receive revenue in April as well. So you should have a balance that carries you into the next trimester, which last trimester we didn't have any balance. So you will have a balance that carries you into the next trimester. But again, just be careful. We don't want to have the same thing happened that we had last trimester, where we had a ton of projects come in. I don't know what the future trimesters will look like, but so far, so good. And hopefully we'll head into the new year with ample amount of money.
Thank you, Kaylee.
That's wonderful.
Note, sorry, I'll turn the time over to the chair if you're finished. Kaylee?
Yes, I'm done.
Candace, do you have anything else you'd like to...
I'd just like to make note to the board that those final numbers included three small planning grants that the Community Development Office has reviewed and funded. So that's taken out of the revenue already. So these new projects will be eligible. So we funded three small planning grants, one to Duchesne City, one to Laverkan City, and one to Moab.
Wonderful. Candace, I noticed Kurt has his hand up. He's been waiting patiently. I knew he would have a question.
No, I'm just excited because we got money again, right? And at least more than we do projects. So my question was, and this is maybe a question for the board as much as it is for Candace, is I know we've talked about the fact that if we could go to a trimester delay in terms of the revenues that are coming in and matching those up against projects, that would allow us to know exactly how much money we're dealing with and be able to strike the right tone and the right balance when setting the terms for each of the municipalities. Would this be a good trimester, since we don't really have that many projects coming in and, you know, the revenues have been a little bit higher than maybe we expected, to maybe go there, right? So, in other words, let's consider all the revenues that have come in this trimester through February And then when we get to the next trimester, we'll only consider revenue that we've received up through June then. Anyway, just a thought, because I know we're trying to get to a point where the board has more clarity on the revenues that we're allocating. Anyway, I would like more clarity on that. So just a thought.
Can I just – oh, I'm sorry. Other people have their hands raised. Go ahead. I'll wait my turn.
Jack, I believe you were next.
Yep. Just a question, Kurt, probably because of interest more locally. Were you suggesting not funding in the next funding meeting and waiting till the next one, or to go ahead and try and fund what we've put on the docks and then wait? I didn't understand you exactly.
Well, okay, so how many more do we have in the next funding meeting, Candace? Maybe I because I thought you said these are the only ones for this trimester.
I think that's correct.
No.
These won't be funded. This is what you see on the projected mineral lease balance on your screen. That includes if you choose to fund these. That's not a whole lot to start with. For the new trimester applications, if you were only going to consider, scroll down to the funding, if you were only going to consider $603,000 for the next trimester, that wouldn't be adequate. Of course, we do get March, which isn't indicated in the revenue yet, and May, March, April, and May may be there. We won't have May to allocate by the June meeting, so we won't know. So there will be 2 months of revenue. But I defer to Kaylee. She's done a projection, but I think we get about $2 million per month. So that...
Okay, so Candace, when's the next funding meeting? That's June, right?
June 6th.
Okay, so we're not going to be considering any more projects to fund until after that funding meeting, right?
Right.
And then, so my
June 1st is the deadline for new applications.
Correct. So then by the time we get to, is it July? Is that the next meeting that we'll be considering projects?
Yes.
We should know how much revenue has been received through June 30th. Right.
It depends on when the July.
At that point, we'll consider all the revenue that the CIB has received through June 30th, and that will be our line in the sand in terms of how much we allocate in the next trimester. That's what I'm saying. And then by the time we get to past the next funding meeting, then we can consider all the revenues received up till then. That was what I was thinking would be the best way, if we can get on that schedule so that the board knows exactly how much money we have to allocate and can make the right cuts or the right decisions to not cut in each trimester. But anyway, if we need more discussion, I don't want to derail the whole meeting here. Just a thought, because this looks like a great quarter without a lot of projects coming in that we could maybe make that transition. Just a thought, though.
So to the point of my question, how many projects do we have in the queue already for the funding meeting in June? No, there's more than just today, right? Because there's the priority list.
Scroll up.
Which is...
What's on your screen? Right there. This is all you have to discuss today.
Understood. Yeah. For the funding meeting in June, what projects we would have, the ones from today, if chosen, if we move forward, plus... For June, we would have the other anything on the priority list?
Yes. Scroll down just to that part that has pink, Heather. See right here, all of these numbers down at the bottom, grand total, those have all been considered in that
Okay, so this will be self-serving.
So even the priority has been considered.
Okay, so the priority list has the Daggett, and it'll sound self-serving, but even if it wasn't us, I want, if it was anyone else, that one isn't in yellow because it's not for today's meeting. So
right, but it is included in the final numbers.
Okay, and I just didn't know if that was clear to Kurt.
Oh, I see. So you're saying, you know, you may want, since you may want to try and get that one funded as well.
Well, no, it's on the list to be funded.
Yeah.
It is on the list.
It's right. Scroll down a little more. That all, everything that's on this financial sheet has been in consideration, and the final number on the far right of your screen that shows in yellow, we can fund everything listed on this financial sheet and still have a balance in the black.
And that's as of today. That doesn't include any revenues that are received from now until the funding meeting.
Yeah,
right?
No March, no April revenue is included in the purple boxes.
So my point for you, Kurt.
March, April, or May, or possibly even June. So we could include March, April, May, and June revenues for the next funding cycle. And still be kind of one quarter in arrears so that we know exactly how much money we're going with. That's what I'm trying to say. And we can still fund all of these projects, including the one on the pending list for Daggett, Jack. So.
Well, I just, whether it was Daggett or not, that wasn't my point, was that I just didn't, it wasn't clear to me that you had the full picture of what we were funding as far, or what will be on the funding list for June. So, and maybe I think I like the idea of having money ahead to fund from. And so I'm not being antagonistic, just wanted to make sure it was clear. Thank you.
Okay.
We're going to move along to Mayor Baker.
And then well, I would just, and in the listening to all that discussion, I agree with Kurt and think that we need to build money up so we can, for the next trimester, we know what we've got for projects come in and be able to do it, which we discussed that when we met last. So I'm just on board with that.
Okay, good. Laura?
Same thing here. I originally was chiming in to ask for clarification on what Kurt's proposal was, but I do agree that rather than, trying to anticipate how much money's coming in and making prioritization recommendations based on what we think the crystal ball might include, kind of hitting pause, collecting money for a trimester, and then spending the money that has been collected makes sense to me. It requires taking a trimester off, and I don't know if that's entirely what Kurt's proposing, but taking one trimester off, collecting the funds, and then spending what we've collected seems logical to me.
Well, we're mostly taking this trimester off just because of how few applications we're considering. So, you know, in comparison with last trimester, for example, right, where we had way more than we could fund. And so then this, maybe the word got out that we don't have as much money as they thought. And so anyway, the applications seem to be much smaller. So I'm saying this represents a good opportunity to get on that schedule without having to take a trimester off, so to speak, because of how few applications we have.
We've been self-regulating in that regard. Quick question to the chair or to Candace. If we can keep a balance of some minimum balance, whatever it is, so that we have that room that we need for whether it's in emergencies or whatever, if it's a good enough balance, would the interest from that balance come back into the fund that we spend, or does it go somewhere else?
Comes back in.
Okay, thank you.
Also, you have the ability to set aside any funding you want. This infrastructure set aside is in rule for your ability to set aside a balance into that. It's like your it has been a kind of a rainy day fund, but you've used it all because we needed to. You can set aside X amount at any funding meeting. So in June, if you have adequate, you can set aside in here. Or you can proceed with only using the funding, as Mr. Sloss said, up through June.
Okay. Very good. When you're, Kurt, do you have you still have your hand up, or is?
Oh, no, I didn't take it down. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, that'll help. But just a reminder.
Yeah, thank you.
Any other questions at this point? If not, let's move along to so we've done the briefing and the financial review, approval of the minutes. Has anyone had a chance to read those and would like to make a motion?
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to recommend a couple of amendments. I think there's just a couple of grammatical. On page 2, under number 2, the financial review, the second paragraph under that, the third sentence, after 6 months, the estimates and information may no longer, I think there needs to be a B in there, valid.
Yeah.
And then on page 9.
Okay.
Sorry, waiting for my computer to catch up here. Page 9, it's the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh paragraph, second sentence, project, but the value of the dollars continues to diminish. Should that be so instead of do? So they hope to proceed before prices go even higher.
Yes.
Sure.
I second the motion with that correction, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. So, Greg, Commissioner Miles, you wanted to make the motion to approve the minutes with those corrections. Is that correct?
That's correct. Thank you.
All right. And we have a second from Nagi Zanotti.
Yes.
All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Motion passes. Let's go to new projects. Candace?
First of all, I'd like to say Commissioner Miles is now truly exposed for having reading the minutes.
I want to commend you on the minutes. They are exceptional, so thank you very much.
Thank you. The first new project for consideration on today's agenda is the town of Woodruff. They're requesting a total of $564,392, of which there's a $264,392 grant and a $300,000 loan. You can see on your note sheet that that's not quite what the funding tool has suggested. But they have gone back. There's a revised application in there. It's still the same amount that they're requesting, but they have clarified this for us. They've been very good. Of note, Woodruff did apply for the October funding application provision, but they were like a couple of days late. So you have to be submit. So they've been patient, and they've revised their application, and we have them submitting for February, and it's for these road improvements. It has been suggested that they crack seal a third of the Woodruff roads per year, and that's what they're trying to do. They have a replacement fund. The Class C road fund and transfers from general funds. They might use sales tax. This is from their public hearing. Woodruff shows no debt on the application. I'm not sure if they have any debt, but in the public hearing, the estimate to complete the roads was $623,000. My question would be, they've got applicant cash, but is this sufficient to complete the project as described? It's a good project. It's a road project. And with that, I turn the time over to the board.
Do we have anybody on from Town of Woodruff? Or
they should be. let's make sure. And
do we need to offer them up some time?
Yes, we do. I'm deferring to Heather to see who the attendees are that might be associated with this. I believe Bill Cox is. Is that correct? I'm going to promote him to panelist.
There was also an entry for the just said Woodruff, and I promoted them as a panelist.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm the clerk here in Woodruff. Bill Cox should be on here and our mayor.
And did you want Bart Jensen to speak? Was he?
Yeah, he was working with us as well.
Okay, would somebody like to go ahead and speak on behalf of Woodruff?
Oh, Jerry, if I might, yeah, I've kind of been trying to help them. This is their first CIB application and the process of trying to put some funding together to get some infrastructure projects. They don't have any debt at this point in time. They've just tried to been saving their Class B or Class C road money to put into some projects. They've done some small projects, but they're quite a ways behind on doing some chip seal and crack sealing as well as some reconstruction. So this is their first loan and a grant situation. So in my mind, and I know the application doesn't say that, but one of the things that would be very helpful if the grant was $300,000 and the loan was $264,000. They get very minimal money in on their Class C, but that's what they're going to pay their loan with. And it would be helpful if that's possible to give them a year sooner to get their loan paid off so they can start on their next project. It's a good project. Jones and the Mill done some pre-construction on it. Is it going to get everything done? No, I don't think so. But it's certainly a start to get what the project does is going to complete some blocks, and then there's other blocks that will be have to be addressed in the future. But this project will certainly complete the blocks that they've identified that have the greatest need. Let me just put it that way.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner. Anyone else from Woodruff like to speak? If not...
I apologize. I tried to promote Scott Sabe.
He's the mayor.
Oh, he doesn't need to speak, I guess. He's declined to be a panelist. It's all right. of note, you made the request, the applicant made a request to switch the $300,000 loan to $300,000 grant and a $264,392 grant loan. Loans have to be rounded to the nearest 1,000, increments of 1,000, because they're so that I'm telling the board that if you allocate a different grant and loan amount, loans have to be rounded to the nearest 1,000. Thank you.
Okay.
Candace, were you saying that the numbers are different than in the Granicus? They've been switched, or
no,
what we see in the documents is accurate? Okay,
In the discussion, he just asked to have them switched.
Got it.
Okay, discussion from the board. Question. Commissioner Adams, I see you have your hand up.
Yeah. As usual, I can see Woodruff from Monticello, and they're a very small community, been very wise in their financing, trying to avoid any debt. I think the board ought to consider letting them keep their cash, the 125, and give them a grant of $490,000 and a loan of $300,000 at 1%.
Is that a motion?
That's a motion.
Okay. Can I point out that that's outside the tool range?
Oh, you always do.
You can count on me, Bruce.
Special consideration.
And what is it? Wouldn't you have to say what the special consideration is?
They're a small community with very little income.
Okay.
We have anyone? I see hands up every which way. I don't know where to go. I know Nagy was had his hand up, I believe, second.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question from the Bill Cox or the mayor or anybody can answer. Do you, the community has any maintenance plan, road maintenance plans? And if this, if that is the case, what kind of budget you set aside to do that every year?
Well, see, that's just the situation, Nagy. That's why we, that maintenance plan is going, we're going to need, that's why I would like to switch the grant to the loan amount so that we can get, we'll have money available quicker to do our maintenance on the roads that we're going to try to complete. So that gives us a year. If we can reverse that, that would actually give us a year that we could get on that maintenance plan a year sooner by not having to make that payment if we could just switch the two. But that's just a request.
And what portion of these roads are the county roads or, and the city roads? Are you using the DMZ and combination for both?
No, they are not. The roads that are in this are just city roads. I just volunteered to help them through this process, Nagy.
Okay. My last question, are you going to do your own chip seal? Do you have the capability to do that, or are you going to contract it out?
No, it'll be contracted out. That and I might bring that up is that we have a project that the county is looking at too, and we would like to combine those two if they can get their funding, and that would give a bigger project that we would be able to hopefully get a better price on in conjunction with a county project.
Thank you.
Okay. Candace, I don't know who was next. After, is it in my on my screen, I show that Commissioner Miles.
Commissioner Miles was the next to me.
Okay. Commissioner Miles.
I have a question for Bart Jensen. I noticed in the application it says our engineer has suggested that we crack seal a third of the Woodruff roads per year. So I guess my question is that an effort to get caught up on the maintenance and then after 3 years have yourself on the plan, I guess, to follow up with Mr. Zanotti's question?
Yes, I believe so. This assessment was done a couple of years ago, but yeah, that would be the intent, is to get it to where they could do some crack sealing every year and get caught up to having everything sealed, and then go back and start over again once they're done.
And just a follow up comment, I think, you know, the board views maintenance projects as something that ought to be funded by the entity. And really we're reserving the CIB funds for big projects. And so if it's maintenance, always maintenance projects, we're not doing the right type of projects that we should be. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Kurt?
Yeah, so my question maybe is for Paul or Candace. I know we haven't adopted the new tool yet, but the new tool in my mind is a little bit more straightforward in how we weight some of the factors that Bruce was mentioning in terms of size and the special considerations that we were doing. Do you know what the funding looks like if we're to run it through the new tool? And I know that hasn't been adopted yet. I was just more out of curiosity.
I was going to ask the same thing, Kurt.
Okay.
This is using the old tool, what you see on the screen.
Yeah, well, I assumed it was because we haven't adopted it. Yeah. You didn't happen to run it through the new tool, did you?
Not explicitly. I could look to see if it's in there.
Okay. Well, that would be helpful for me because, you know, all of the factors that we're thinking about when we determine the terms are factored in there properly, and so I like the new tool. I'm really excited about it. But so if we have that to go by in this one, then we'll just have to go with what we have here.
So, so it is in the new tool. I can pull it up here if you want.
Yeah.
If you want to take a look at it. Let's see. I've got to angle this a little bit better. Okay. Do me to, I'll share then real quick here. Let me clear this off real quick. You can see. Sorry, this is too tiny for everybody. Let me get a little bit bigger.
Okay, so under the new tool, it's showing that they should be getting even less grant, right? And even more loan. Actually, I don't know. Like, if I look at the payment, it's about the same as the old tool under the median, right?
And we don't have some of these factors entered in, it looks like, in that. So I'd need to go through and find that information and do that before I get you the full number.
Okay, so this isn't necessarily a reliable
not for this one.
Output from the new tool. Okay.
Sorry.
So, Chairman, this is Mayor Baker.
Yes, I think you're up next anyway.
Okay. I'm in there, and I feel their pain and their anguish in trying to get things done. But we kind of started giving out just a certain amount of money, and I look at staying with the minimum. I guess making an alternate motion here, staying with the minimum range. And a $373,000 loan, 10-year, 1%, $191,392 grant, and then letting them choose which roads they can afford to do, which ones are top priority, and use that money, and then look coming back to us again sometime.
Point of order, Mr. Chair. We had a motion on the table. Did it die for lack of a second in terms of this being a substitute or an actual motion?
And that's probably my fault. I should have asked for a second on Commissioner Adams' motion.
Would you please restate your motion again, Mr. Chairman?
We need to. It was as requested.
Okay.
No. It wasn't.
No.
What was it?
Commissioner Adams, would you like to restate your motion?
My motion was to let them keep their $125,000 and not have to spend that on this project. So I said, give them $490,000 grant and the $300,000 loan at 1%.
Tell me this again.
This is Commissioner Bartholomew. I would like to second that, but also ask a question if I could.
Go ahead.
So, follow up with Greg's question there. If you're going to redo your or do a third of your roads each time, but yet you've committed your BNC funding to pay off these loans, how are you going to do this?
So, The issue about that is this project, that analysis was is that we needed to do a third of our roads each year. this would accomplish all the roads with a chip and seal. So instead of doing a third each year, this project would actually allow us to do those roads that were on the plan for a third each year.
Okay. All right. Okay. So I'll go ahead with my second and with a further comment. I'm from a small town, like as you guys know, and these are our only sources of funding is right here.
Okay. So I have a motion from Bruce, Commissioner Adams, excuse me, and a second from Commissioner Bartholomew. And then we have the possibility of a substitute motion from
Mayor Baker.
Discussion second on the substitute.
This is Mayor Baker again. I've got my hand up. I would like to still offer that the substitute motion that we just go with the minimum tool that's on our agenda of $373,000 in loan, $191,392 in grant, at a 1%, and let them, again, now that we've heard that they want to do all the roads, let them choose, you know, what roads they can do, what are top priority, and go with that and stay with the tool instead of trying to go away from the tool.
I'll second your motion, Mayor Baker.
I now have a second to the substitute. Laura, do you have a comment?
Thanks. I just was going to say that I think Mayor Baker's proposal is a good one and ask the community to prioritize and, you know, helps take care of some of the most urgent needs. But, you know, we can always have them come back in the future. I also wanted to point out that I too am really excited about the new tool because I feel like our discussion here about, well, it's a really small community and there's, you know, limited revenue coming in, I think the new tool will help us objectively account for that kind of thing so that we're not, you know, I think it gives us a good baseline so that we know that those types of things are considered in the tool recommendations, recognizing that we're a board for a reason.
Okay, very good. Commissioner Adams, I see you have a hand up.
Well, I'd just like to say, I don't want to punish Woodruff if we're going to change the tool at our next meeting and the fact that we can give them a little extra money means they don't have to come back to us. You know, I mean, we're giving them we're throwing out a little corn on the pond and trying to bait them into taking what we offer, and then telling them, oh, you do this and do what you can, but come back to us and maybe we can help you a little more. I'd like to see them. That's why I made the motion I did, so they don't have to come back.
Very good.
Anyway, that's
great. Any other discussion? If not, I will have Candace call for a roll call vote on the substitute motion.
I'll just point out one more thing, and I'm not trying to be hard here, but Rich is a number two mineral producing county. They're very low. They're down there with Salt Lake in terms of mineral production, in the county. So, you know, in supporting Mayor Baker, I want to make sure that we're leaving enough, to support more of the mineral producing counties and other smaller communities, you know, within some of those counties that don't have enough. And I just know from history, even though we have enough this trimester, that's not going to be the case long term. So that's why I supported the motion. So.
Okay. Candace, let's do a roll call vote on this substitute motion.
Well, was Bruce's hand up?
Who does, Bruce?
Oh, never mind, it's down. never mind. This is for the minimum, a $373,000 loan, 10-year at 1%, and $191,392 grant. Treasurer Sloth.
Yes, I'm a substitute.
Yes, it's the substitute. Ms. Yeah. Hansen?
Aye.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes, but I'd still like to give him more grant.
Commissioner Lytle?
No.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
No.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
No.
Mr. Zanotti?
Nay.
That motion passes with 4 opposed.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you. This will be on the funding agenda June 6th for final funding approval, Woodruff.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. And good luck to the town of Woodruff. Move along, 4.2, town of Circleville. Candace, do you want to start?
The town of Circleville is presenting another road improvement request for funding. This is for a $2,600,000 project, of which they're requesting a $2,500,000 grant and a $100,000 loan at 10-year at 0%. It is outside the funding tool. This is for a crack seal and of 9.5 miles of paved roads in Circleville. In the public hearing, the plan is to create an alternate truck route for local truck traffic to pave from Highway 89 to 100 East along 930 South. They indicate that a bridge might have to be replaced. The townspeople voiced their concern as to whether this would grow to something larger. There were some concerns within the public hearing minutes, but it's a good project. Circleville should solidify the project prior to the funding meeting. I'm not sure what they've decided to do because of the discussion in the public hearing. With that, I turn the time over to the board.
Let's turn some time over to town of Circleville, if we have some of them on, if you'd introduce yourself and give us your brief description of the project.
Yeah, we're checking for Circleville.
I'm here.
Okay, good.
I'm Akeisha Westwood, and I'm the town clerk here in Circleville. We did start wanting to do from Highway 89 to 100 East, town meeting, the public hearing, the townspeople voiced their concerns, and so we did change, and I think Kelly Chappell's on, he changed our application to do a different road that would, they townspeople thought would benefit us more. It's been being discussed for a long time. We have a lot of truck traffic that goes to our local agriculture agencies out, our farms out on the thing, and they use our town roads a lot, which is really beating up our town roads. So we'd like to pave a road that's not paved that they can use to get to those agriculture businesses for us. We're just a small community with a limited BNC road funds that we've been saving for quite some time to try and do a project. This is just something we couldn't do without CIB. So I'm going to turn the time over to Kelly Chappell.
Yeah, thanks, Makisha. I can just maybe mention a couple things specifically regarding the concerns that were brought up in the public meeting. I don't think it was concerns on the project as a whole, just more so the location of the proposed truck traffic road, which the public had some good comment. And so that road has been changed to, it's now 1040 East, which will still route traffic so that their heavy traffic is not going on the residential interior streets, but on still a city road, but it's more on the outskirts of town, able to get in and out of these agricultural areas easier without beating up the city streets as much. Circleville has quite a bit of export of our agricultural products, so they have a lot of heavy trucks coming in many, many times a day, which has really deteriorated the condition of their existing streets quickly. So that was part of the reason for having that truck traffic route in this project.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Zanotti.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Makisha and Kelly, I'm still confused about your explanation and what the public hearing at the February 24th of this year. So in that, several of the constituents or the citizen have required that you look into maybe repairing and fixing the Sandy Lane compared to the other projects and just leave the bridge, replacement of the bridge, which is going to be costly, which is going to be also causing confusion among the truck drivers. And the promise was to look into that before you come before the CIB. Did you look into that, and what is the outcome of that decision?
Yes, you're correct. We did look into that. So the project proposed at the public hearing was the 930 South being the traffic road, which may need to rotate the map there that's on the screen to view the labels, but it's there on the left side of the screen near the mouse. After the public hearing, in the public hearing, it was proposed to pave Sandy Lane, just like you mentioned, which is 1040 East. They're the same road, which okay. is now shown there in orange on the bottom of the screen there. So the revised application to CIB is to avoid the bridge, not mess with the bridge at all, not pave the 930 South, not do any improvements to that street, but to pave and improve Sandy Lane, also known as 1040 East, as to be that designated route.
My follow-up question, do you have a robust road maintenance plan in your community, and what kind of budget you set aside for that annually?
I don't know if Makisha wants to add anything to this, but they Circleville has, in the past several years, been saving up 3 and 4 years of BNC road funds to do some road maintenance. They didn't quite get enough annually to do do much of a maintenance plan every year, but they save up 3 or 4 years to do to crack seal and seal coat. Sorry, crack seal and chip seal some streets, but they're not able to get real far with that. I don't know if you have anything more to add there, Makisha.
Well, the reason
no, I'm asking, that sounds good.
So the reason I'm asking the question is just like I'm, as a representative of the UDOT Commission, just do roads all the time. The good roads need to be maintained, you know, to save the community money and remove the traffic. And every 7 to 10 years, there has to be some kind of solid, robust program in place. Otherwise, we can infuse all the money in the world to those roads and build the roads. But if you're not going to maintain it, you're going to come back every 5 years before CIB or some other places to borrow money to maintain your road. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You bet. Laura, did I see you have a hand up?
I did. I dropped it because my question was about the money that they had been saving up. I noticed in the application there wasn't any applicant cash, and so I wondered if the savings was intended to go towards this project or towards maintenance, and I think that's been answered. Thanks.
Okay. Commissioner Lytle.
Thank you, and I may have missed it as I reviewed the application, but it'll be a short answer, possibly. The question is this either the change or both? Are those town roads or county roads? Because it looks like it's outside the town limits.
It's all within the town limits. The map that's shown on the screen, there's that red dashed line. That's the municipal boundaries. Everything inside of that are the city okay. roads.
Short question. Short. Thank you.
Chairman?
Go ahead.
Commissioner Brown, I'd like to make a motion that we approve as requested. I know it's outside the tool range. We're doing it as not only a small community, but for public safety, get that heavy traffic off their community in residential roads.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Discussion?
Discussion. Go ahead.
It wasn't clear to me whether this would be how they would regulate or encourage the truck traffic to use that, or were they going to put weight limits inside the town to how's that going to actually come to Kelly or the other person from Circleville? How are you going to enforce that or attempt to actually get the benefits of what you're trying to do?
So we talked about we're going to put some signs on the road where they're supposed to turn, and then signs through town also guiding them to the road where they're supposed to turn. And then most of the agriculture businesses were at that town board meeting that night, and they're going to tell the truck drivers, spread the word to their truck drivers as well, to let them know. So that's the path, the route we want them to take.
So you're not going to have any enforcement. You're working on good faith.
Yeah, pretty much, I guess.
Okay, thank you.
Mayor Baker, you have your hand up.
Again, yes, I did. Again, and I realize this is a small little community, very poor, everything else, but I'd like to make a substitute motion to go back again to the minimum, $1,482,000 loan, 10-year at 0% interest, and $1,118,000 grant.
I have a substitute motion on the table. Do I have a second?
This is Commissioner Miles. I will second.
Okay, and you also had your hand up. Or was you going to make a motion? Okay. All right.
I was going to make a motion.
I have a substitute to the motion. Any discussion?
Yeah, I'd love to just hear from the community if, you know, they feel like they can handle the minimum recommendation in the tool. Out of principle, I like staying within the tool as much as we can, but I'd love to hear from the community on their ability.
This is Stacy. Could I have permission to speak for a moment?
Go ahead.
I'm Stacy Gass. I'm a town board member, and so I would like to speak just for a minute about the need for this project. If we can get the local truck traffic off of our residential streets, and those inside of our community, that will help us be able to maintain those roads much better. Those heavy trucks coming across there as often as they are making it really hard for us to keep those roads in good condition. So we're at a point where we need to fix the roads that have been fix the roads, plus make a new avenue for those trucks to access those agricultural businesses. We've had several in the last bit come up, and we need to be able to have them have access to those. Our BNC Road Fund would never be able to repay the loan that has been proposed. We don't even have that capability if we used all of our BNC Road Fund to repay that loan.
Okay. Mr. Zanotti.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Stacy, maybe you need to answer this question too. What kind of trucks, what supplies they carry? Is a particular company or several different varieties? Are they participating in this road maintenance for you or the road construction?
So, yes, and just to be clear and to clear up any miscommunications, we want all of the through traffic to stay on Highway 89 that just goes through town. The traffic that we're talking about is we have a large dairy farm, we have pig, and we have turkey operations, and so we have feed coming in, we have milk going out, we have all kinds of transportation that way. We have most of our industry is on that south part of the town where the trucks need to come in, and so that would just allow them access without going through our residential streets.
Has anybody approached them to see if they will participate in this endeavors?
They have been great participants in the past to get the roads as accessible as possible.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You bet. I saw another hand up. Did somebody else have a comment? Go ahead, Commissioner Miles.
My question was answered. Sorry, I didn't mean to raise my hand again, but my question was if they were trying to take traffic off of 89. I just couldn't see the wisdom in that, so thank you.
Okay. So I have a substitute motion. I have a second. Any further discussion? If not, I'll have call for a roll call vote. Candace, would you go ahead?
Yes. The substitute motion is for the minimum in the TOOL, which is a $1,482,000 loan, 10-year at zero, and a $1,118,000 grant. Treasurer Slaw.
Okay, before I give my response, I'm going to floor Bruce here because I don't think, based on their current economics, that this is actually a model that they could make work. So I'm going to vote no on the substitute.
Ms. Wow. Hansen.
Well, Kurt beat me to it, but I was going to say the same. So no.
Commissioner Bartholomew.
Ditto. No.
Commissioner Lytle.
No.
Mayor Baker.
Yes.
Commissioner Miles.
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor.
No.
Commissioner Brown.
No.
Commissioner Adams.
Yeah, no. I'm going to say to Kurt, I'm glad that his brain has not left his body completely. Thank you, Kurt.
Still there.
Mr. Zanotti.
Nay, with the comment that, yes, thank you, Treasurer. So you come to your senses, finally.
Every once in a while, I get a wild hair. So.
That motion fails. If we go back to the original motion, we need an exemption.
I was wondering if we could have some discussion prior to the vote.
Okay. Kurt, you still have you as first with your hand up again. Do you want to comment?
Okay, sure. I'll make a comment. So the original proposal has a $100,000 loan and a $2.5 million grant. So I'm going to floor everybody again, and I'm like, and say that, is there really a point in setting up a $100,000 loan? I don't know if there's costs involved with that. You don't bond for $100,000, right, Candace? You do,
yes.
This simple.
Yes, we
do. We would bond for $100,000 or above.
Okay. Well, given that there's costs involved, then with setting up a loan, I may even propose a substitute that just gives them all 2.6 as a grant.
Second.
I now have a substitute.
A second substitute
and a second on the motion. Discussion. Laura, you have your hand up.
Thanks. Yeah, I was just looking at the ranking on, you know, who's a producing county, and this community is number 23 on the ranking. I wondered if there was a middle ground between all, all Kurt's proposal of all grant and the loan. Maybe we could increase the loan amount to, you know, 500,000, or something that may be more manageable for the community, but gets us a little bit closer.
So are you making a motion?
Well, I'm confused on where we are on the procedures at this point, so I'm just going to make that as a comment. I think we already have a substitute, right, that we haven't voted on.
We have a second substitute and a second to the motion right now on the floor. We're discussing, and if you're not making a motion, you're just making a suggestion. I'll turn some time over to Commissioner Lytle.
I'm not going to complicate it by making another motion. I think even in the smallest communities and the difficulties that are there, having a little bit of skin in the game, and I'm trying to look and see what, and there's no applicant cash necessarily. Even the minimal loan of $100,000 to have some skin in the game and the pride of ownership isn't a bad thing. And I think recognizing both extremes, Kurt and Laura's points, as well as the previous substitute, just for people's knowledge, I'd be more in favor to stay with the original motion.
Okay. Any other discussion before I call for a roll call vote?
Jerry?
Go ahead.
Can we find out how much they get in their C road funds a year?
Yeah, who'd like to answer that?
They don't even have the road addendum. Yeah. It will have to be answered by the town.
Sorry, I'm looking that information up. I'm not in the office right now, so I got to dial in. If you'll give me just a minute, I'll try to see if I can find it.
Okay. If it helps, Makisha, I do have the road addendum that accompanied the original application. And
yes, thank you.
Looking back at some, the previous years, we've got $68,000, $62,000, $64,000 in total revenues.
Okay.
Thank you.
So we have a second substitute on the floor and a second to that.
Who made the second?
I did.
Commissioner Adams. Okay. So it's now you've moved it to all grant, my understanding, and we need a exemption.
Correct.
Kurt?
Financial hardship would be the exemption.
Financial hardship. Okay. Candace, would you... Mr. Zanotti, go ahead.
I got kind of confused at the end. The Commissioner Lytle had a motion to keep it as stated, requested, was not motion?
No. Not a motion.
He did not make a motion.
Okay, thank you.
Go ahead, Candace, and let's call
thank
for
you.
The roll.
There has been a clarification. So there was a motion to provide as requested was the first. The substitute failed, which was for the minimum of the tool. This is outside the tool. Second substitute made by Treasurer Slaw, seconded by Commissioner Adams for a $2,600,000 grant.
That was my understanding.
Yes. So, Treasurer Slaw.
Yes. Merry Christmas.
Ms. Hansen.
No.
Commissioner Bartholomew.
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
No.
Mayor Baker?
No.
Commissioner Miles?
Nay.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Nay.
There were 5 in favor and 5 opposed. Chairman Wells, would you like to weigh in? If you are with us.
I'm with you. Do I need to weigh in?
Yeah, there was 5. There were 5. We need a tiebreaker. There were 5 for a $2,600,000 grant for Circleville, and 5 opposed.
I'm going to vote in favor. Merry Christmas.
That motion passes. Thank you all.
Thank you. Congratulations, Circleville. We'll move along to our large infrastructure pending projects. 6.1.
Yes, on the agenda today is coming off the pending list. If you, the board will recall, San Juan Health Special Service or Service District Local Building Authority presented an application at the November meeting wherein they were asking for $34 million in a combination grant and loan. That motion was placed on the pending list wherein Commissioner Adams and the San Juan Health Service District proceeded to seek other funding for this project. Through the legislative interim term, they did acquire funding. What they're now requesting, they still have a little bit of a shortfall, so they're coming off the pending list, wherein you can authorize the funding today because they are coming off the pending list. The request is for a $5,012,000 loan, 15-year at 0.5%. It is all loan. The revised scope is much reduced. They are going to build the hospital, but this, what they're requesting from the board is funding to do some of the planning and design for this project, engineering, and also the purchase of some very expensive pieces of equipment for the project. And with that, I'll turn the time over to the applicant. I'm uncertain as to who is attending, so we're trying to get them pulled in. I am promoting Clayton Holt. I'm not sure. Is Daniel Hawley affiliated with this? I'll let No. Clayton speak to who is Dustin Schaefer.
No, it's just Clayton.
Just Clayton. Okay. It's the Clayton Holt Show.
Go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you, Candace. I'm assuming everybody can hear me. So we are glad to be back with a much reduced ask. We realize that the previous ask was significant, and we appreciated the board's willingness to give that a serious look. We are short this $5 million on this project. As Candace indicated in the interim, we did work with the legislature, with the governor's office to get $30 million of funding for this project. What you're seeing today is what's left is some critical funding. As we put this project together, there is a, there's a need as part of this design. There are significant lead times on this funding and, or on this equipment and some of the things we're doing to be able to pull all of this together. This requires specific design for this equipment in the building. And so, that is our ask today, is that you give consideration to this reduced funding request.
Very good. Thank you. Questions? I have Commissioner Lytle up first, and then we'll go to Mr. Zanotti.
I would make a motion to approve as requested. to get it on the table for discussion. Also, thank you to Clayton and your team in your efforts, as well as Commissioner Adams and the work you did at the legislature and your efforts. Well done.
Very good. I have a motion to approve the ask.
Second. Second, this Scott.
Commissioner Bartholomew, I have further discussion. Mr. Zanotti.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Hull, why change of heart? I thought you were a brave person. You gave up so quickly and so easily.
We're trying to put this together any way we can, Commissioner. This has been a monumental, heroic effort, Commissioner Adams, and frankly, we had a lot of support from the rural county commissioners and that. I hope we're not giving up. I hope this is where we need to be. I would say that I'll be honest with you. This is still a stretch for us. We're doing every possible thing we can to make this project come together carefully, thoughtfully, that we are not wasting any dollars. This is still a huge undertaking from that standpoint to put this together.
My second question is, what is the status of your state grant and, of course, local contributions? Are they available, they're approved, inviting, and ready to go?
So this gets maybe more than you wanted to get into this, but we had to have a change in the statute that allowed the state to give this money to us. That bill, Senator Hinkins ran a bill that allowed the Special Service District to receive this money through GOEO. That doesn't become effective until May 1st. And so we can't do anything until that statute becomes effective as far as receiving that funding from the state and finalizing that. So that's the timeline for that is that. As far as our funding, we are still putting a significant amount of cash into this project to put all this together and make this work. We are probably looking at up to $5 million of our own cash, which is going to stretch us really thin.
Chairman, if I could. I'm sorry, Kurt, I'm jumping on top of you. That doesn't sound right either. What bill is it that you were referring to, Clayton?
Senate Bill 162, I believe.
162. Okay, and just for everybody's clarification, funding isn't actually available until after July 1st. So bills take effect, but funding isn't available for the next fiscal year until July 1.
Yeah, and there were two components of that. The governor's office had some funding available from an existing or from the current fiscal year, and then there was a new appropriation for the next fiscal year. And so there was in addition to the bill, there's a combination of funding. And so anyways, it was all coming together, as Christina mentions, in totality, it'll come together on July 1st.
Mr. Chairman, I still have two more questions to go with your permission.
Go ahead.
So have you shopped around for these equipment to make sure they're available if this funding is approved, Clayton?
Yes, we've done quite a bit of work on that to ensure that the equipment is available, but the lead times are a year plus on this equipment, some of it up to 18 months. And so that's why it's critical for us to get this in the hopper and coordinated with the building design. So there's some very specific design parameters related to the equipment and the building itself. So we need that kind of those commitments right now to all come together.
And my last and final question, I have a medical background, and of course I see that 15 years request is much reasonable than the tool suggesting 30 years. Most of the equipment in the medical facilities will be obsolete within 10 to 15 years. So I don't know why Tool is coming back and suggesting we can give the grant or loan for 30 years. That should be, in the future, considered that. I don't know why the Tool does that and what is the basis on that, but 15 years is the maximum for any kind of tools and machines in the medical hospitals or care centers. So
can I make one comment on that? And I don't know how this, but there's a significant component of this that's related to the building design. Okay. So of the $5 million, there's a significant component related to that aspect as well.
But I don't know how the board views planning and then the architectural services versus the equipment itself. And Mr. Zanotti is correct. The useful life of this equipment is about 15 years if it's new.
And the last thing I would like to ask you, honest answer, you're going to need to suspend and fund, particular because of the fact that it's going to take 18 months to 2 years to get this equipment ordered and delivered. And I don't know if you're going to be able to wait that long. And by waiting, you may have all kinds of change of hearts and mind, and the legislators too. So that's my comment.
We would need that in the motion then.
I would amend my motion to a suspend. No, to bring it to the table and then suspend and fund.
If it comes off the pending list, you can fund it. If it's after the funding list, it was submitted October 1st. The protocol for the board is it can be funded today off the pending list.
Okay. All right. Very good.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, thank you, Clayton.
Yeah. Well, before Bruce schedules the lunch meeting where we're going to go and be best friends, I'm going to be devil's advocate again on this. So I'm sorry, Bruce. So here's my concern. This, a hospital, unlike other critical infrastructure that we fund, is a business, meaning the hospital generates significant revenues. Part of those revenues in any business are expected to fund the facilities that business is required. And, you know, hospital reimbursements are very good, right? And I know Medicare and Medicaid aren't what they should be. I know rural hospitals struggle under those reimbursement methods. But you've been given a $30 million head start for a business, and I know it's county-owned, but it is a business. And you've been given a $30 million head start so that all of that whole system doesn't have to pay $30 million. And now you're coming and needing $5 million more for the equipment. Now, based on the ongoing revenues that are coming through that hospital, there should be no problem for you guys to go get the market financing you need. Just like every other hospital across the state who wasn't given $30 million from the state has to do in order to get the right equipment in their hospital to fund the services that they produce. So I guess my concern is I have a real concern with a business, and a hospital is a business, coming to the CIB and basically asking that all of their infrastructure to run that business be funded with this is a loan, but it's a very highly subsidized loan relative to the market. It doesn't seem fair to any competitors, and I know you guys are geographically isolated, but it just doesn't seem fair to me.
Okay, Bruce?
Okay, Kurt, lean back. So every road department is a business. Every water department is a business. Everybody that comes to CIB is a business. Why are we giving any money to any business in any county under your definition?
No, I don't see road departments, and I know there are revenues that come in under water, but those are all, you know, public. I just consider it very different than a hospital. Obviously, the CIB can't fund every rural hospital across the state. And so from a fairness standpoint, I'm not sure how we're justifying certain facilities over others.
State code says that the purpose of the CIB is to fund and mitigate projects in counties that are producing counties. So if we're going to change the definition to a banker's philosophy and say all of these entities within the counties that receive road funding or receive some water funding or whatever funding they receive from the state are not now qualified to get any money from the CIB. I'm just conflicted with your definition of a business and why you wouldn't fund a critical need in a county under the definition of the CIB to mitigate what's going on in the county because of extraction.
Well, I gave you my reasons. I guess you see it differently. I'm just saying that, you know, typically hospitals are, you know, if you go to the hospital, you know, they're generating, you know, $1,000 bills there. And a lot of that comes from people's insurance. A lot of it comes from Medicare. There's funding. There's a funding structure in place that funds all of that critical care that has to be received wherever it's given. And unlike sewer and water that depend on kind of local revenues or whatever, there's a whole insurance business. There's a whole funding mechanism to ensure that that's all funded. And I would think a $30 million head start should be sufficient for the hospital to be able to overcome whatever disadvantages there are in being located rurally and, you know, and all of those things. I worry that what will happen is, you know, it'll be so low that a lot of this money will get filtered to the professionals that no longer have to pay as high of costs of participating in that hospital, and that there will be certain people that, you know, private interests that take advantage of that. So that's my concern.
Boy, you are making some weird assumptions that this money would be funneled to individual providers. That is so far from the truth. This entity is coming and asking for a loan, Kurt. They didn't ask for a grant. They're coming and asking for a loan.
Well, a subsidized loan, right?
Huh?
A highly subsidized loan. You know, market participants or the competition.
CIB's not subsidizing them.
Yeah, they are.
We're being asked to give them a loan.
I know, a subsidized loan, meaning it's below market rate that they would get if they went to the market to get the same loan.
We are not an entity to act like a bank. We're not being, you know, we were never set up to be a bank and consider whether we're giving something at market rate. I don't ever remember in my time on the CIB we ever considered giving a loan to an entity that they were trying to mitigate the impacts, considering whether we were giving them a loan at market rate. We're not a bank.
I agree. That's not what we do.
I have a couple of hands that come up. I'm going to move this along a little bit. Mr. Zanotti, you have your hand up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So we just gave $2.6 million to the community that does not produce as much, not much of an incentive for us to give that much kind of money. And yet we have a community which is producing, which have a really desire to do something for the citizens of the county. And, of course, the life between the being dead or alive is about 30 seconds sometimes. I'm impressed that they've gone and changed the scope rather than asking for CIB, which they had $34 million to do the hospitals or care centers or health centers. Now they've come asking only for meager $5 million rather than $34. And they've had plenty of skin in the games, as always Mayor Baker wants to have. And there's plenty of money there for all of us to desire to say this community has a need for the care centers, and needs to have equipment, and needs to have a soon. Otherwise, they have to drive all the way to Grand County to take their lives in their hands in the ambulance. To me, this is the best project we can fund. And their desire to do $5 million instead of $34 million is even better with all kinds of money they bring in from the state and other sources. So I'm in favor of this to save lives. It is different than paying roads and sewer and water. This is saving lives in the community that they have more than 97% of the land is owned by federal government, and they have no other choices to do anything else. Thank you.
Well stated. Commissioner Miles.
I had a question for Clayton. Long-term debt. Remind us what you got on the books for long-term debt.
Sorry, I was speaking from memory, but it's about $5.5 million existing before we take on this project.
Thank you. And I think I'm not going to go all the way down the road with Kurt, but I do think, and kind of to piggyback on Zanotti's comment, we just handed out a $2.5 million grant.
2.6.
2.6 to a non-producing county. I do feel like there is a revenue mechanism to return some money back, and I think that's of ultimate importance for the board. And for that reason, I would like to make a substitute motion that we offer a 100% loan at 2%, which is well below market, and it should be very doable.
I have it on the table. Laura, what were you saying?
I was seconding the motion.
Okay, I have a second to the substitute. Any discussion? If not,
Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead.
Commissioner Brown, I had the occasion last night to be at our county convention. Governor Cox was there in attendance. He came by my booth, and while the other speakers were speaking, we had about 10 minutes to discuss some items. This project came up. He told me how much in favor and how much they support this project. In the building business that I'm in, I understand key components to make the end result happen when it needs to happen. I understand that they need this money now so they can get this stuff secured and organized and that the planning goes into the building. I'm with the governor. I support this project.
Very good. Candace, can you do a roll call vote on the substitute motion?
The substitute motion on the table is for a $5,012,000 loan, 15-year at 2%. Treasurer Slaw?
Yes.
Ms. Hansen?
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
No.
Mayor Baker?
Could you feed me in? My machine froze. Who's voted yes, or not who, but how many yes and how many no's?
Well, we're four board members in with three in favor and one opposed.
And I'm a no. I'm a yes on the 2%. Sorry.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
No.
Commissioner Brown?
No.
Commissioner Adams?
If we deny this and it goes back to another motion?
Goes back to the original.
Yes, goes to the original motion.
No.
Mr. Zanotti?
Nay.
Well?
5-5.
5-5. So... Yay. Chairman Wells, did you say nay or yay?
No.
Commissioner Adams has indicated that Chairman Wells said no.
Yeah, I can understand Trace Lawrence better than the rest of you.
The answer is no.
Okay, nice. That motion fails. By one, we're back to, well, I turn the time over to the chair to call a question.
We are back to the original motion, which was $5,012,000 loan at 0.5%.
For 15 years.
For 15 years, correct. Thank you, Mr. Zanotti. Let's do a roll call vote.
Mr. Slaw?
No.
Ms. Hansen?
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle.
Yes.
Mayor Baker.
Yes.
Commissioner Miles.
I'm going to vote nay, but I just want to know that I am in 100% support of the project, and I think it's very worthwhile. I just think that we need to return some to the CIB, and I think those that can pay should. I mean, we've been very clear today that those people that can't pay or we don't think can pay shouldn't, and so I think that we ought to get some more revenue rolling back into the CIB, so that's why I voted nay.
Thank you for your comment.
Mr. Taylor.
I'm a yes.
Commissioner Brown.
Yes.
Commissioner Adams.
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti.
Aye.
Aye. That motion passes with two opposed. As requested.
Very good. Thank you, and thank you for the discussion.
It is funded, by the way.
It is, and we will fund. Can we just take a minute and take a 10-minute break before we come back for supplemental requests? Is that okay?
I believe it's at the discretion of the chair.
Is that okay? If that's the motion, I'd say yes.
Okay. Let's take a 10-minute break. Be back in 10 minutes. Okay? Stretch your legs. Calm down. We'll get through this. Go ahead, Mr. Zanotti.
I had a few texts regarding my comments that about my medical background. I just quickly would like to let you know that before coming to the United States in 1977 and right before revolution, I was in the medical school getting my degree to become a heart surgeon. But the revolution happened. I came to the country, United States, and because of lack of friendship or relationship within those countries, they did not honor any of my credits. And they asked me to start from scratch. And so I ended up going to structural engineering. They said they have more needs for civil engineering, structural engineering than doctors at the time. So here I am. That's why I have a heart for those small communities that they are so desperately need our funding. That's what I get passionate about them. Thank you.
Wow. We call Nagi's heart a heart of gold.
Thank
you. Nagi, what country did you come from?
From Iran. Yeah.
Well,
America pronounced it Iran, but it's Iran.
My boys, two of them, spent a year over there. Thank you.
Yeah.
So that's the problem right there. Thank you.
Even though you're not a heart surgeon, you're a great member of this board. And, Nagi, we love you and appreciate you.
Thank you, and I love you all, and I really enjoy serving with you.
Yeah, we have a great board. We can agree to disagree sometimes, but you know what? At the end of the day, we're looking out for rural Utah and these great little communities. So.
Well, Nagi, I want to say I'm glad you didn't take the heart surgeon role because you played an important role at UDOT, so thank you for making that change.
Well, thank you. And I love to serve my community and my states. I love to people. Thank you.
Very good. Candace, we're ready to roll on. Let's go to our supplemental request 7.1, I believe, if I'm correct.
Yes, that is correct.
Go ahead.
The supplemental request is coming from the town of Springdale. It's for sewer improvements. The board funded this in October of 2022. They approved a $3,600,016 loan for 30 years at 2%. It has subsequently completed its design. It's ready to proceed. They send it out for bids. The bids, you might guess, came in higher than what they had estimated. So what their request is for an additional loan, all loan, $1,100,000, 30 year at 2% to add to the previous $3,600,000 to get this project completed. And I turn the time over to the board.
And this, can I just ask a clarification? You said all loan. And am I reading incorrectly that in the notes document that they're requesting all grants?
No, you are. That was a mistake. It has been if you're looking at the notes that were originally provided to the board, what's in Granicus is correct. It is it's all loan. It's not all grant. Mm-hmm. It's all loan at 2%.
Okay, thank you. And the original request, what percentage was loan versus grant at the original?
They had no grant. They got no grant.
It was all loan. Okay, great. Thank you for.
So they're just extending this same terms then, right?
Yes.
Okay, I'll make the motion to approve that then.
I'll second that.
I have a motion. I have a second. Nagi, we have a comment. Looks like you have your hand raised.
Yes, please. I have again question against the tools. So, Llano Springdale is in Washington County, and Washington County is non-producing county. And of course, in the past, everything historically we have followed up with whatever the original term was.
Yes.
We always follow the same.
Yes.
So all these three explanation why the tool is coming offering them grants in all this minimum, median, and maximum. That should not be the case.
Oh, well, because it was run through the tool, and then the board has already discussed this. Yeah. So that's what the tool would do, but the board, after discussion and its original discussion in October.
Yeah, again, we need to somehow fix that tool that will not pick up the things that because community is asking for exactly the same thing as the original term was.
You have to.
Total loan at the same 2%, 30 years. So that is the thing. Then we should not be able to go back and rely on the tool and cut confusion that why we give them the grant to communities that they don't deserve it.
Okay, we won't put the tool range in a supplemental.
So that's my comment, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Okay. Go ahead, Commissioner Miles.
I just would like to make a comment. If they're successful today, I would like to see a sign placed on the project stating that this is funded by oil, gas, and coal extraction so that environmental groups who frequent the town will know that these funds have come from the enemy.
Hallelujah. Second emotion.
I'm in favor of putting that on each and every project that we do. I think people deserve to know where this money is coming from.
Agreed.
We used to have a sign on the road projects, Mr. Chairman, that used to say, your tax dollars at work. It was a beautiful thing for the people to see where because always complain, where's my tax money goes? Now we should be able to do the same thing, that your CIB money, your gas money, meter money at work.
Yep, I agree. People need to know. People deserve to know.
Yep.
Would the maker of the motion be willing to amend his motion to include that?
Yes.
It's a sewer project. Could we not?
Yes, I'll amend that.
Well, I think every project that we do, that we fund, people deserve to know that it's the CIB that is funding it and where that money actually comes from.
I agree. Most places, as you see, they've got signs in front of them stating where the money is and who the contractors are and so forth.
I would suggest we put that on our next agenda to talk about and find a way to do that to make sure that every community – every project puts a sign up.
We're going to have to give them an extra $500 in the grant to get a sign.
That's what I was just raising my hand to say is who pays for the sign and does that get included in? Yeah.
You know what? Each community ought to pay for that sign. Yeah. Because without us and without that mineral extraction, there would be no projects. And if they can't come up with $500 to build a sign... Just my opinion, okay. Christina.
I'm sorry, Mayor Baker had his hand up, but I inadvertently put it down.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, put it down. Everything was covered.
Okay, good. Christina.
Thank you. For the signs, let's work on a couple of draft copies, and we'll get them out to the board, and we'll work with our PIO to ensure that it goes through the process correctly.
Great.
Provided that, you'll have to make a decision on funding if the municipality is required to do it or not. And then you can put something in the motion right now that whatever the sign is that's agreed to in the forthcoming, in the near future, they can place on the property.
Okay.
I like that suggestion.
Very good. Anybody else before we have a roll call vote?
Real quick. You asked for it to be on the agenda, and would that be a policy, something in policy that we're looking for? So it would be in our, as we edit or amend our policy, or would it be in rule?
It would be in the amended policy.
Okay, thank you. Just for clarification for the agenda next time or whenever it comes up.
Maybe bring it up in our June meeting, when we go to Duchesne. Very good. If no further discussion, I'll have Candace perform a roll call vote.
This is to fund Springvale Town's supplemental request of $1,100,000 loan, 30-year at 2%. Treasurer Slaw.
Yes.
Ms. Hansen.
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew.
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle.
Yes.
Mayor Baker.
Yes.
Commissioner Miles.
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor.
Yes.
Commissioner Brown.
Yes.
Commissioner Adams.
Yes, I vote yes for this town business to get some funding from us.
Mr. Zanotti.
Aye.
That motion passes unanimously.
Could you restate the motion, and did you include the sign?
Oh.
No, we're going to bring that up in June.
This is Rick. I'm the town manager of Springdale. We're happy to put a sign up. It'll go right next to the one that says, raw sewage ahead, stay the heck out.
Thank you.
I apologize. I didn't allow Springdale to comment. Would you like to comment now that
we're very appreciative of the work that the board does, and we're happy to be here, and we're trying to make a difference for all of those people who are coming to, you know, using their gas and oil to get to Zion, and so we're very appreciative of the work and the financial help.
And this is Mayor Bruno from the town of Springdale. I'd like to second Rick's thank you for your help with this. I want to mention that the project's physically located in Rockville, so watch for the sign over there.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, let's move along to special consideration. Candace, I'll turn this over to you.
We need to make a motion, Mr. Chairman, to accept that item.
Oh, yep. Okay.
I make that motion, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, I have a second.
Now, wait a minute. Whoa, back up. What item are you doing?
We're doing special consideration, and it has to. You have to make a motion to hear.
To hear.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
They have a motion and a second to be able to hear this. Do you want a roll call vote?
Acclamation.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No, I'm not opposed, and I didn't unmute in time to say aye on the first part.
Okay.
Go
ahead, Ken.
This project on the agenda today is unique for many reasons. Back in June 2019, the board was approached to fund the San Rafael Research Center. Emory County Municipal Building Authority was going to acquire some very wonderful equipment from the University of Utah. They were purchasing the facility in which to transfer that equipment. They can speak to what it was. It does a lot of research for energy. It does molten salt research and whatnot. So the board authorized their first $2,625,000 grant in October, or in June 2019. In October 2020, they approached CIB again because they were going to expand the facility, and they did. The board authorized a $7 million grant and a $491,000 loan, 30-year at 0.5% for the San Rafael Research Center to expand. They have property in Orangeville. That's where this is located. And they had two buildings, and you'll see the pictures. You can see it on your screen if Heather would just make that a little bit bigger. I had the chance to visit this. What they want to do, it's an amazing facility. It will be very much an enhancement to the state of Utah as well as Emory County. But what they want to do, it wasn't included in the scope. So what they're here to discuss, first of all, is to use the remaining funding to change the scope to add an additional building. They have purchased, they had a legislative award to purchase a metal building. They have the building on site, those pieces of it, for its construction. What they are asking CIB to do is to allow them to use the remaining funding, and the remaining funding is $400,002. What they want to do is now construct footings and utilities and the foundation for this building they already have. They've got the metal parts for it. Once they do this, and they will complete the building on this, there's also a future transfer of ownership. I'm not so sure the board needs to do other than authorize the funding right now, but part of the motion should be to include that they will complete this project with the remaining funding, that it will be completed. It may not, CIB won't give them additional funding, and CIB does not have to. They're not asking for anything additional from what the board has already authorized. The board has authorized,
can I jump in real quick to add a little bit more color to this?
Sure.
Okay. So just a little bit of background. In this legislative session, HB 410 was passed and signed by the governor. So San Rafael Energy, State Energy Lab, was basically codified, so the movement will need to do two things today. You'll need to consider this $403,000 action as well as a change in ownership to the state of Utah, provided that the loan that is existing will be paid off prior to the ownership being changed to the state of Utah. Are there questions? Has everyone read HB 410? And I know Chris Piper's on the line as well to answer questions, as well as Debbie Cardi. Greg Todd is also here. If my team could elevate Director Todd, that would be very helpful.
Mr. Center is also here from the facility.
So in deference, Christina, appreciate your input. At this stage of the game, I'd be comfortable with Candace finishing her thing and then move on through the chair's efforts to bring the proponents on board. Point of order is all.
Go ahead.
Yeah. That was very valuable information from Christine Oliver. She has been working diligently with this. We've been in discussions. She has been with the changing of the guard. The original scope was to, like I said, to purchase the building and then also to do an additional building and acquire additional equipment. CIB has put a lot of additional funding in this. Yes, there was a legislative bill, HB 410, which this bill establishes that the San Rafael Energy Lab, it creates the Utah San Rafael Energy Lab Board, and this bill appropriates in the fiscal year 2025 to the Department of Natural Resources Office of Energy Development, a one-time appropriation from the general fund of $2 million, which they will use to now run this. Emery County does not, Emery County has sought additional ownership for this. They have been proponents of the San Rafael Research Center. It was going to be an Emery County Municipal Building Authority project until it was deemed that Emery County, some of Emery County, did not want to have it. So additional information was provided as Ms. Oliver initiated, which was clear. We received further communication from OED in relation to the outstanding loan on the San Rafael Research Center. It is OED's understanding that Emery County will pay off the loan as soon as they receive a check from OED. As you know, that check, and as has been alluded to by Ms. Oliver in previous projects, that these bills and the money does not come available until July 1. In the meantime, CIB will, if the board approves their use and this expanded scope of work, we will amend the contract to extend it for their use of the 402. The 402 will accommodate this building to be completed. They will then be required to pay off the loan. Emery County Municipal Building Authority will pay off the loan that exists in their name, because OED will, I don't know that they have the ability, but they do not wish to take on the debt. They won't have to. And they will be starting work on the contract to purchase the center very soon. But like I said, there won't be funding available, and like has been indicated, there won't be funding available. So the board's action today is to approve the additional, the expanded scope of work for existing funds. We are not giving any additional funding to this project. The board needs to approve the expanded scope of work. This is what they would do for any request for special consideration when the scope exceeds what the board had approved. So that's first. Next, the board needs to accommodate the transfer and approve the transfer. I don't know if it takes approval, but they need to acknowledge that the county pay off the bond. And these are legal questions that the board can ask of Christopher Piper. He is here. We will extend this with the board's action on this motion before them today to use the extra 402. We'll extend the contract and amend the scope of work. With that, I don't know what else the board has the authority to do as far as the transfer, because it has been in legislation. It is a statutory change, but you do need to be made aware. And I defer to anyone else with additional funding, but we should take a motion. I do need a motion to approve the expanded scope of work.
Okay. Ms. Oliver, do you still have your hand up? Do you still have a comment?
Yes. Thank you so much. I sure do. We have a significant amount of information available. I wrote up a summary. So if there are questions at this juncture, it'll be myself and Chris Piper who will be answering those questions. The 402-906-36 balance, that is one motion. The other one is the change of ownership, which you will need to
make that motion.
Okay. Very good. Mr. Zanotti.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. So my first question from Christina. We're going to need to have a resolution signed by the board in order to make it a change of ownership to make it legal, or just by way of vote?
That one, Chris Piper, will it need to be a resolution?
No, the change in ownership will be a transaction between OED, so the state of Utah, and Emory County. So I think a simple acknowledgement from CID is sufficient. There are a couple of requests that I would make to the chair to include for the motion, and so we can talk about that when the chair is ready to entertain the motion.
Okay. Well, then with that explanation, Mr. Chairman, I would like to make a motion to use the balance of the CIB money and then, of course, change of ownership from the county to the whatever the entity they're going to go with energy.
I'll second that motion.
Okay. I have a motion and I have a second. Further discussion.
Mr. Chair, just for the record, to clarify, and Nagi, feel free to speak up if you disagree with this, but to ensure that the motion includes amending the scope of work in the contract and extending the date of the contract.
That is my motion, Mr. Chairman, as is stated.
Good. Thank you. And the second agrees with that. Who did second that?
Commissioner Brown, yes.
Commissioner Brown, okay. All right.
And I have two questions to ask, if you don't mind, please.
Go ahead.
I don't know who's going to be answering it, but I would like to do this. Len, you're going to do this, hopefully?
Yeah.
When do you expect to do the gasification test in your facilities?
We have the piece of equipment sitting in that blue building, or that gray and blue building you can see, that okay. is waiting to be moved into the new building. BYU has companies that have already issued POs and are waiting for the piece of equipment to be operational. So what will happen is this building that we're putting up that you're approving us to use the rest of the funding on, three quarters of the building will be enclosed and will be for Utah State, the state of Utah's use later. One fourth of that building is an enclosed shed with power and water to it to use this piece of equipment that is sitting waiting. They're waiting on that piece of equipment and needing it so bad that we will set it on the concrete pad and they will be doing experiments while the building is being built around it.
So $1.6 million plus the balance of the CIB is going to be needed to do this gasification test, or that is separate?
Yeah, we used most of the 1.6. The building, if you look at the picture, you can see some of the red iron sitting in the yard. Uh-huh. The insulation and a lot of the other is stored inside the large building. Everything is sitting there. It's just that the price of materials went up so much since we started the project that I need this 402 to do the concrete and to help us get a pad set up so that the building can be erected. What we want, there was a question on the loan. We've been talking with Debbie Carty. That money, in my understanding, we will have that money either first or last of July. The day that we get that money, we will start the process of issuing the check back to CIB to repay that loan. So the loan will be cleaned up, and this 402 will be cleaned up, and there will be no more, we will not be asking CIB for anything additional, and there won't be any funds that are sitting stranded.
Well, thank you, my dear friend. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Let's go to Kurt, Mr. Slaw.
Yeah, you bet. My question was, what was the reason behind the ownership change? Is the state bringing more resources, or why did Emory County want, or what was the impetus behind moving it to the state?
Myself and the previous two commissioners had 100% buy-in to this. Seven County Infrastructure Coalition was supporting from the back, and The state and CIB have both been extremely supportive. This facility will be, in my mind, a multi-million dollar facility in the future. There's we're getting a lot of attention from DOE. But what happened is I got a new commissioner that was elected during the last election cycle that is anti and totally against the facility. And he has been able to slide where the second commissioner has been sitting kind of on the fence. He's been able to slide him his way enough that where my term will finish in the end of December this year, it became obvious that for the facility to be safe in the future from incoming commissioners, that it would be better if it was under the state's direction rather than the county.
Change of focus, maybe, Lynn?
Yeah, we just had a change of focus with new commissioners.
What were the commissioners' concerns? Was the county putting a lot of money in it, or did they just not like coal in general because they're environmentalists, or what were their concerns?
I hate to badmouth them too bad. One just didn't want any work and didn't want to have to do anything, and the other one came in right off the bat that he didn't think that this was the kind of business that a county should be running. He didn't want it. And so I don't know that he's anti-research or research center, but he doesn't want the county to have anything to do with it.
Okay. Interesting.
So long term, I believe this research center is still going to grow very quickly now that DOE is showing the interest they are. So I believe that it's a good thing for the United States as a whole, not just Utah, but it just needed different controls and leadership. So the new board that the state puts in place will relieve these two commissioners that don't want anything to do with it from having anything to do with it, which is a blessing for the center.
Good. Now, Mr. Miles?
I just wanted to thank Commissioner Sitterud for his excellent work on the research center. Seven County Infrastructure Coalition was heavily involved in the pre-planning for this center and saw it as a huge regional asset, especially for the types of things that they were doing research in, both in coal combustion and molten salt. I definitely agree that this should be a state asset. And a lot of these components have been brought in from the state or the University of Utah and BYU. And I think this is the best place to house it in rural Utah, that it can be a huge benefit to the county, Emory County, but also to the state. And if we're going to get to where we need to for energy needs in our state, we've got to do research. And also the research that, medical grade isotope production in the United States is extremely important for cancer treatments and research. And so I applaud the efforts, support it wholeheartedly. And I'm excited that the state agrees with us and that they're willing to step up and make this a priority. Thank you.
Very good. Thanks, Commissioner. How many jobs does this create right there in Orangeville in Emory County?
Jobs right now have been minimal. There are four jobs on the nuclear side, and it varies depending on how much work we're doing on the coal side, but that runs about four jobs also. But we see the future as, like I said, DOE is looking. I think the elections this fall will determine how much DOE is allowed to put into here, but they have a keen interest in putting a bunch of money towards this facility. So I would say down the road, while we are doing coal and molten salt research, that it may grow to 30 jobs or so, but the estimates that, and this is 15, 20 years down the road, but the estimates are that if we ever produce medical isotopes, that it would add an additional 800 or more jobs.
Well, just having 8 jobs is worth about over 1,500 jobs along the Wasatch Front.
Yes.
When you talk about rural Utah, I mean, and if it was Garfield County, that would be, it's worth about 700 jobs. One job here is worth about 700 on the, along the Wasatch Front. So it's a big deal. Commissioner Lytle.
Thank you. And I appreciate it. I hope I wasn't offensive, Director. I just thought there's a natural flow in our meetings, and thank you for your willingness and your passion on getting this talked out correctly. A couple of things, and then I'll have a question. In terms of the things that I applaud in this effort is the fact that it was incubated through CIB and Seven County with them, for along with or for Emory County. The fact that it's gotten to where it is right now is a tremendous undertaking that Emory County's done. And the fact that the state is coming in and creating the sustainability of that project, of the lab, is tremendous. The other part that I think is when you spoke to the national influence that this has or can have relative to the National Laboratory in Idaho and the different kinds of conversations that are going on maybe nationally but including worldwide, this is, I think, a great project. I think we're down to the nuts and bolts of how to do it right in this transfer of ownership, as well as the loan, making sure that we stay within our policies and rules to get the loan taken care of. I do have one question. Is all the timing working out correctly? And this would be to the director, in terms of the transfer of ownership and the loan prepayment or repayment with the need to extend the term, I guess. Am I understanding that correctly, ma'am?
Separate transaction for all intents and purposes, but the timing of the cash flow, if you will, after mm-hmm. July 1st, we will work on with OED and DNR. So we'll make sure it works. I'm not concerned about that at all.
Okay. I just want to make sure that we clean it up, and maybe Chris will speak to that as well.
If I may, Mr. Chair.
What's that?
If I may, I'll offer a little bit of clarity.
Absolutely.
So, yes, for the public record and for this body's awareness, we will ensure that the contract includes, because the timing is everything here, right? And so we need to make sure the bond gets paid off prior to the transfer. And so we will make sure that the contract includes that requirement, as well as, for all intents and purposes, the project needs to be complete by Emory County prior to the transfer to the state through OED. So we'll make sure that works out, that hopefully now that it's out there as a public record, that the county will be able to meet those conditions.
So thank you, Chris. The question then, I guess, to that is, do our motions suffice in supporting those needs, or to Christina or Chris?
At this point, it does.
That's really where I was headed in the long run. Thank you. And thank you very much.
Any other comments before we call this to a vote?
There were others from Office of Energy that the director was speaking toward being on board. Did they want to make comment before we vote?
Like Debbie Cardi has joined us. I don't know, Debbie, if you wanted to say anything. We also have others that are attendees and listening. And maybe she doesn't want to make any comments, so maybe we're just...
All right, then I'm going to call for a roll call vote. Candace, can you take over at this point?
Thank you, and thank you for the good discussion. The motion was made by Nagi Zanotti, seconded by Commissioner Ralph Brown.
to allow the additional funding and the expanded scope of work to add the third building and the change of ownership. The project will be completed. Prior to that, the loan will be paid off prior to transfer of ownership. Treasurer Slaw?
Yes.
Ms. Hansen?
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Two thumbs aye.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Wholeheartedly aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
Absolutely yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Hallelujah aye.
That motion passes unanimously, and thank you for the good discussion. We'll follow up. You may hear more at the June 6th CIB meeting. We'll follow up with more information.
Hey, Jerry, can I have one last minute?
Sure. You betcha, Commissioner.
I would just like to thank this board. Like I said, I still have full belief that this place is going to blossom and grow to something that is going to benefit the whole United States, and this board has more to do with the success of this facility than anyone else. And so I'm my term is about up here, and my influence with the facility is about finished up, but I wanted to thank this board because this is another one of those facilities that after the state takes over, there should be a huge sign out front that said that this was built with CIB funding, because CIB has been the main support behind this facility, and I thank every one of you.
Commissioner, we appreciate that. I've actually been out there and toured that with you a couple of times, and it's a wonderful thing, and we appreciate the work that you've done. CIB's been great as well, but you know, somebody had a great idea, and we appreciate it.
Yes. I just wanted all of you to know how much I appreciate your support.
You betcha. Thank you.
I would like to add the comment to the commissioner that not only the United States will benefit, the world will benefit. There will be universities around the world, countries that come, would love to come and learn from this project so they can implement in their communities, if it is possible, for safe energy for the future.
Yeah, I truly believe that also. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, let's move along to number 9, board member discussion and action items. Candace?
Yes, I want to clarify what we're doing, and I'm going to turn the time over to Paul Moberly. You've all been involved in some additional education about the upcoming CIB funding tool transition. Paul has done a wonderful job working with a variety. Well, he's the wizard, but we've put some clarification in the funding tool. You all had the chance to look under the hood, so to speak. Also in this, what we're going to discuss now, it was suggested that you wanted to discuss water and sewer application requirements, but I don't know. We can hold that until the policy meeting. You wanted a request that they go to other funding sources before they come to CIB. there's no motion to be made on it. You could. But what has really been pursued by the board is a better understanding of the funding tool and to put some make-believe applications through this new funding tool and have a discussion of how it works. So Paul has worked very, very hard after providing you with a survey of how you want it to proceed and what you would like to have considered, and he's put together this little discussion exercise. It includes what Ms. Hansen wanted to do, some full applications, and the funding tool and how it will interact. So with that, I'm going to turn the time over to Paul Moberly.
Go ahead, Paul.
All right, thank you. I don't know if anyone else is getting squirrely in their seat, but I can go as long as you'd like to go. So, thanks for everyone who participated in the survey that I sent out. That was a follow-up to our discussions that we had, as Candace mentioned. I just wanted to go over the results of that first so everyone can understand. And again, this was anonymous, so I don't know who didn't fill it out. I believe, 10 total respondents, I want to say. So that's almost the entire board.
I'll note that I'm on vacation and I failed to fill it out, so I apologize. But I defer to the wisdom of the board here. So.
Don't admit anything, Laura.
I'm going to own up to it.
It was anonymous for that reason.
I'm not shy. I'll own up to it.
Yeah, well, I did too. So,
okay.
Well, I got it in late. Let's put it that way.
Sorry.
Okay, keep your confessions for Sunday. Let's.
Yeah, I'm not going to absolve anybody here. There's, yeah. Okay, so for just looking at the results of this, I just wanted to share that so that we can look at it, and then we can agree as a board if that's the direction that for the tool to going forward. The first one is just how we allocate the factors. Now, that didn't go as cleanly as I'd hoped, but most people kind of got it to some level. And so looking at it, this was what I had, you know, this was just kind of thinking through it on my own. That's the current, I don't know if everyone can see this, that's big enough for everybody? Okay, great. So, and then here's the averages, and I just kind of rounded up so we could get some whole number or some, you know, on the fives. The revised allocation of those factors or the weighting of those factors ends up here. Also of note, just kind of how it all flushed out, it ended up summing to 90 and not 100. So once we shift over to the tool to looking at those things, maybe we can smooth that all out. Also, though, on the next side of things, we did have three proposed factors that came out of those discussions, and those were generally, it looked like everyone wanted to include those new factors. So that might play into this, how these things are weighted looking forward. And again, the summing to 100, that was also fairly arbitrary, just kind of makes it a nice clean number, but we can go any number that the board wants to go and do all that. So just so we know that. Was there any questions or were there any questions on these proposed factors before I go on? We can look at them. I can get into more depth in a second.
Real quick, when you slide back up to the top.
Oh, yeah.
When you say revised, are those the numbers you applied when we move into the mock project deal?
Yeah, so I've already actually entered these revised numbers into the weighting into the new tool.
And then on ones where there was a difference, like public lands, 5 was the current, 13 was the proposed, or the average of the survey.
Like you rounded to 5, right?
I just rounded up the nearest 5, yeah.
Oh, okay. And
down if I had to.
And is the 90, you said it adds up to 90. Was that because of the other 10% that you, or the 10 that you wanted to, that you had set aside in the first go at this?
So it just did, just based on the survey respondents and how everything panned out. I didn't want to put numbers in anyone's mouths. But I figured that when we looked at it, if you all want to change the weighting and things, I'm very happy to do that.
This is Mayor Baker. I think, you know, you've dropped, of course, you're going by the survey, but currently the producing counties get 35 points, and the survey says it dropped to 25. I feel like if we put that back up to 35, that'd be your 100 points, and we're good there. There needs to be some emphasis on producing counties.
Yeah, once we look at the actual, screen, and I showed you this all before, the waiting screen, but we can change those as a board. I'm more than happy to do that in a second. Also, keeping in mind, we do have three new factors to play with. So however you want to do the numbers, we can work that all out. you want to raise those. Commissioner Miles?
Yeah, I guess along those lines, I'm a little disappointed because I think that it's stated in doing the most good in the state with priority given to mineral producing counties. So I don't think it should be dropped to 25. I think you're diluting it by moving all of those numbers across the board. And if that's the case, then you're just putting everybody on a level playing field, and I don't think that's the intent. I think it should stay as a higher because that is putting the priority where it is supposed to be. And I know I'm speaking as a mineral producing county. I are one, so but I don't think it's right to reduce that 25. I just wanted to put that out there.
Thank you. Yeah.
I'll say as kind of a statewide perspective, I agree with that. I think 35% to me seems appropriate, given the mission of CIB. I think a 25% allocation, I don't think gives the weight to mineral producing counties that they deserve. And the mission of CIB, which is Community Impact Board, right? To mitigate mineral producing impacts. And I know that's not the only mission, but I do agree that 25% seems low to me. So.
And I think moving it to the 35 to make your 100, in this case, it's probably, I haven't done them all, but in your rounding to get to fives and tens, I think you made it easy to make that the 35. I'm sorry, I put my hand up. We'll shut up.
The only thing is if we want to include the other three factors below, then you're going to have to take from somewhere. So,
yeah. And again, like we can look at how to reallocate things in a second when we get to that screen. I can show you everything, and we can make it live as a group. I'm very happy to change these.
Paul?
Yeah, Commissioner.
This is Commissioner Adams. I guess the hand-raising thing's not showing up, but I don't have a problem with production. But I'm going to speak up for public lands only because I think if, with the present administration has declared war on any production, those counties that have 90% of their land is BLM or Forest Service probably could be producing a lot more if they were allowed to, if those companies were allowed to drill there. So I don't want to lose focus of the other counties that really have production that's available there. I think it's Garfield County's got a coal reserve there that they're not allowed to tap. But it's world class, and I just think that there's something needs to be said for these counties who have so much public land.
Well, not only that, Bruce, but the state traded away a lot of our Sitla ground because of what the federal government, when they made the monument, and they're trying to do the same thing to San Juan County.
Yep.
So, actually, a lot of you other counties benefited because of the monument to trading away that land. So, Nagy, you have your hand up?
Yeah.
Yes, I agree with you and the Commissioner Adams that we need to consider those counties that they have not much to their names. They love to produce, but they've taken away their rights from them. And if that was the case, they wouldn't have any idea, they would have plenty of money to do their own projects. And the fact that some of the small communities, they're just sitting there waiting for the administration change, EPA regulation change, loosen up to some opportunities.
Yep.
So, yeah, if we're going to make any kind of distribution, public land comes on the top of the list. And we need to make sure to consider that. And also, if this was a survey, and then, of course, everybody had input in except Ms. Hansen, then we should consider some of those opinions and respect them what they are. And, of course, we have three factors to consider. So don't make any judgment yet until we get to the end of the list, the bottom of the presentation.
Mr. Bartholomew, you have a comment?
Well, I was going to until Nagy just spoke. I would agree with him, but, you know, I'm going to have to put my 2 cents in for the population. These small towns, they have nothing else. And we saw that today as on these projects.
Okay. If there's another comments, we'll go over the actual factors in the tool. We can make those changes, or however you guys want. So however you all want.
Well, this is a great starting spot.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good discussion. That was from the survey. There was a variance of opinions. So it's always really interesting to see things from that. Like I said, on the factors, were there any questions about the new factors? We can look at those in a second, but. Was there any discussion on that before I keep going? Okay, I don't see any hands or anything. So this was just the open comment section. Other factors that people think should be included. Rural remoteness, that was one. I'm not exactly sure how we could do that going forward. I'd have to do some kind of GIS analysis, maybe. I'm not totally sure how that one would work. The present value of loan subsidy. Now, Treasurer Slaw helped provided with me a sheet that has a calculator that looks at subsidy. That's been incorporated into the tool. As far as a factor, I didn't know how to make that work because it's kind of an iterative thing, because the tool is providing that subsidy level, and so I don't, you know, I didn't know exactly how to get through that, but and then
do you want me to offer any perspective on that? Well, I wasn't thinking of it as a factor for the tool. I was thinking that as an informational piece so that we can understand when we give away these really low interest rate loans, how we're supposed to compare that against grants that we're giving away as well. So a lot of counties, for example, on the rainbow sheet take a lot of loan versus grant. And I think sometimes it becomes hard to determine who's getting the most from CIB. Is it the ones that take a lot of grant or maybe less grant, but they take it in grant or more loan, but they take it in loan. And so what I was trying to help with there was making those two things comparable so that you could look at the rainbow sheet and see who's taken the most from CIB, regardless of what was loan or grant.
Okay, perfect. Let's see. We did talk about this, the property taxes, and as far as the binary, I don't have that in the thing yet. And then this, I did want to address this comment because it came up in the notes later about the board member's discretion. I kind of want to keep reiterating, the tool is not binding on the board. It is a tool for the board to use in the decision-making process, and the board always has full discretion on however they want to proceed on any given application. And again, you know, we're trying to do it, make this tool as usable as possible and as helpful as possible to the board, but it won't ever be perfect, and I totally acknowledge that always. And the need for the board is always paramount, and your deliberative processes and your ability to see and to understand, you know, things outside of these quantitative factors. Sorry, Commissioner Lytle.
Yeah, in terms of the board discretion part, I think the part as it relates to the tool was in answer to the legislative audit, in trying to protect ourselves, maybe is a way to put it, from appearing arbitrary or capricious. It gives us a landmark to work from, and if we're going to change from it, good, bad, or indifferent from the whatever the prescribed options are from the tool, that it helps us avoid that we justify any change from that, whether that's good or bad. it's to avoid that arbitrary or capricious view, or at least lessen the argument. Is that fair?
Yeah, yeah. The tool is to help with that. Yeah, agreed. Nagi?
Oh, sorry. I just wanted to follow up with the commission line on this moment that, yes, we should be very careful on use of the tools. There was supposed to be a extended help for us when we come to the point of that we don't understand exactly how to proceed. But we, as the 11 board members, have been appointed to do our really due diligence and read in applications.
Oh, okay.
To all the requests and see the exactly the factors you're presenting to us. Are they in the small communities? They have a hardship. There's a new projects, old projects, emergency, flooding, seasonal, whatever that you describe. And on top of that, if we're not careful, if we just leave it all to the technology and the tools, then Paul is going to show up with the new technology, says AI. In case you haven't heard, it is everything just AI now. So they're not going to need our help. They can come back, and even the commissioner of the communities, they can show off with the most beautifully written, with the help of the AI, the request that will let us tear up and say, well, whatever you want, we'll give it to you. It is so beautiful. You request your application terms. So we want to be careful. We need to be really using the discretion, human discretion and judgment. I admire every one of you, 11, not me, 10 of your brains of the community and the state. And I really, truly admire you. So let us make sure that we have that human touch in everything we do.
And I concur and emphasize the same thing, Nagi. Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you. I agree. Okay. This is, I'd like to do the, I mean, this is a good exercise to do every year, but this is the importance of the project types. So you know, remember how we have those product types and they each fall into a tier in the system. So I survey, again, this is through the survey, and you can see here's what the current setup was. And this was established by the board. I forgot what, it's been a few years since we did it. And then the survey averages, and I just kind of rounded up or down on those and proposed. Of note on this is there's no longer any level tier ones. So that might need to be addressed, possibly. But sorry, Mayor Baker.
Oh, you're good. I just was going to, when you get back up, I was one of those that put culinary as a high priority in sewer because they are. But I also feel that we're taking over for drinking water and DEQ and funding. The legislature, the governor somehow needs to put more funds. So these people that have these problems go there because they're more capable of handling, understanding it, doing than that we are as a board. And so I, even though we're ranking them top, I still think we have a little bit that should be more directed, more money going for drinking water and DEQ than, and so they can go there versus us spending our time trying to do these sewer and water projects.
Thank you. And that could be, I mean, just I'm not want to speak outside or anything. There's policies that could be implemented. There's different ways of addressing that. I'm just looking at the tool and how the tool is going to look at things. And, right. And when a sewer project comes in or water project, you know, how should that fall into that tiering? That's where I'm going. Thank you, Mayor. I haven't actually put these into the tool yet. I kept the original ones just simply because the lack of a tier one kind of makes things a little weird. And we can change it so that there's no one, you know, if we want to, that's not a big deal. But I just wanted to verify some of this with the board before
sure.
We did that.
I'm one of them that would agree with just doing away with the ones altogether.
Well, it means that factor then no longer has as much weight because, you know, if you're saying it's an important factor, what you're saying is there's a big difference in between projects. And when you don't have any tier one, it means there's not as big a difference in between projects because everybody's going to get similar points no matter what kind of project it is. So it's almost like it de-emphasizes the importance of project type when they everybody gets similar scores, if that makes sense.
It just changes it from a 5-point scale to a 4-point scale, which then, you know, creates less stratification.
Less stratification, so less emphasis on the importance of the project type.
Well, and we, how about once we get to the, into the tool, and if there's honestly, if there's not enough time today, this can get moved to the June retreat where we have lots of time to discuss. But I'm very happy to tackle it today as much appetite as you have once we get into that. So I'll have this. I have these in the tool as well, so we can look at those live in there if you want to make the decisions and see how it affects things.
Just a quick comment.
Oh, what about? Yeah,
and maybe it helps with the stratification instead of going down to a 4, moving it to a 6 or a 7. Or is it the same problem?
Well, I mean, just right now, as it kind of came out from the survey, there's only 4 points. So we would need to either move something up to a 6 or went down to a 1. That's where the problem is.
I guess just more for consideration for the bigger meeting, the longer, rather than trying to do that today. Yeah.
This was another clarification item looking at the buildings because most of the other categories are defined. This one was the essential buildings and non-essential buildings. And there was a little bit of change in here on what was that we had 2 that moved from essential to non-essential based on those votes for essential. This one, it was a 4-4 split between people saying no, non-essential, and people saying essential. On this other one, there was an other category, and that kind of where that fell into. But, again, for the sake of time and appetite, if we want to move forward and then deal with this at the June. This just will affect how the point system you're allocated and everything into the tool. So I mean, I have things in there currently as they are currently constituted. If you want to just move with that. And then I was asked to put this into the survey, just some policy ideas that came forward and if there was support or how people felt about these different policy ideas. Mostly people were favorable towards them, except for the county prioritization one. That was the only one that didn't have a majority favoring it. And these are policy discussions, and this can totally be put off until June, so I'd be happy to move that till then. And then there was some ask, you know, for viewing and for reporting, so the board can see what they want to see from the tool during the meetings. There were some responses to that. Again, like we talked about with Treasurer's Law, having that calculator was in there, and that is in there. Some of the other comments that we've kind of gone on before. Products that are not started yet, that was another one that came up. And then make it simple, trying to do that. So, okay, with that, I can pop over to the tool and we can take a look.
I could show you that.
My thoughts, or at least my thoughts for today, is I wanted to ratify as many of these things. Many of these factors and things as we could and get the weighting on them if we could. And so then I'll be developing some of the functions of it before June, and they can be finally ratified then. I do have those case studies that you asked for. I have 8 of them. If you want to see how different changes affect those case studies, I can do that as well. I just don't know what the time and everything, what the board wants to do at this point.
I'm good with keeping them.
Okay. Get comfy. Okay. So here is the point allocation, as I said, I put those in there from the survey. Now, again, it only adds up to 90 at this point. And here's those three new factors down here. And I just put them at 5 just so they'd be in the system, but they are incorporated in the back end already, but I didn't put them into the overall weighting. This is that column for, yeah, this is that column to see what it adds up to. That's all it means. As before, I did keep in the sewer water rate, factor that just takes that top tier, the difference between the fourth and fifth tier. I'm sorry for this. I didn't actually put that into the survey to get feedback on it. It seemed like people were okay with it during our discussions, but if the board doesn't like that, I can totally just pull that out. And again, this rate specifically does not add into that 100 or into the total. It just does this last tier for the project type, because water and sewer did stay at that top tier.
I like keeping it in. That's my 2 cents. I think it's a good data point, and I like keeping it in.
I do too. In order to maintain their system, they've got to be good stewards of their system, and that is capturing the revenue that they need to maintain it. So.
Okay. And I'll just keep that as that difference between those two tiers. So I'll change that as if we change these other factors, I'll just change that accordingly. Okay.
Paul, could you? I know you've done this already, but I'm a little slow this morning. Could you explain the use versus production factor again?
Yeah. So this is the new one proposed. Looking at the rainbow sheet, kind of like this was Treasurer Slaw's idea, I think. And it looks at the rainbow sheet and looks at how much they're producing into CIB and how much they're coming into CIB for, and then considering that. So on that one specifically, I should zoom in on this. Sorry, a little big.
So what you're saying, Paul, is there's some producing counties that have made over 4,000% over what they produced.
Yeah, so I can show you the rainbow sheet here. And I like to use the ratio of it. It's really like for every – we have a percentage here too. But it's for every dollar that they that they're receiving an award, they put that much in as revenue. So you win a county. For every dollar they receive an award, they put in $1.60 or $1.60 in revenue. And that's specific to CIB's revenue and then to the awards that went out over this 5-year period.
Thanks for explaining that.
How does it apply? Does it add a weight or in the scoring? How are you using it in the tool, that particular metric?
Yeah, so in this one, and this is a different one I probably need to get into explain. This is actually, it's not a percentile. It's more of a ratio or a percentage on this one. This is just how the formatting worked out. But I put it at, and again, happy to change this or to change that whole idea in different ways. But in this one, the tier four was if you get to 100%. So in other words, if you pull in as much as you're taking out, that's one. That's a ratio of one. And that would be 100% on this thing or this one ratio. That would be a four. And then the fifth tier is reserved for those that produce more than they consume, in other words. And Yuna County is obviously the biggest that's the biggest
producer.
Producer, thank you, and the ratio as well. But there's some that actually haven't come into CIB, and they do produce some, so that kind of does fall into that. They would be rated higher in that situation. Now, this is just looking at it from a ratio or a percentage basis. It's not looking at absolute amounts. So if the board wanted me to change this and do some kind of formula with that, then we could work that as well.
So here was my thought on that, Paul, because if you do it this way, then it's basically just going to give more points to the mineral producing counties, right? Like the largest mineral producing counties. So the way I was looking at it is more as a weighting on counties that are within your class, right? So we know that twos and threes are always going to be low, obviously, relative to Uinta, Sevier, and Duchesne, right? But what I'm really looking at is, okay, is Kane County, for example, coming back and they're way above their peers, right? San Juan, Grand, Daggett, and Beaver. Does that make sense? So I'm kind of looking at it more like on a tiered basis, like who in their mineral producing category is coming to CIB more, and obviously, you know, if you're a two, you're never going to be up there with Uinta County on a percentage basis, but I just don't want to see, for example, you know, Summit County coming over and over again and Garfield not getting anything or something, right? So
that makes sense to me. I like doing it within kind of your color category or your class category.
Yeah.
It seems like if we include it in the tool as you've done it, it's essentially the same thing as weighting whether they're a producing county or not. And it seems like maybe bumping up the weighting in that category is a simpler way to do it. But I do think this is a helpful benchmark or tool for us as we're considering individual applications as they come to us. I'm not sure that it needs to be incorporated into the tool.
I do want to clarify that it actually doesn't necessarily favor producers over non-producers. It favors those who take out more or put in more than they take out. So if you can see here, like Sevier County, basically for every dollar that they're taking out, they put in 23 cents. But then down here, Daggett County actually adds a little bit more than they take out. So it's not a pure producer. I mean, just because Uinta produces so much, that's the thing that kind of skews it. And like, I mean, there are counties like Summit, honestly, has never come into CIB in the last 5 years. So they have a little bit of money. But that would be it. That's where the ratio is kind of weird, and not using the dollar figures might be a different way to look at that. But
didn't I remember us approving a fire station to Summit County that in Heber?
That was Heber. That's Wasatch County. Summit County's Park.
Summit.
Yeah. Cole.
Okay.
Yeah. Colville
is in Wasatch County.
Yeah.
Okay.
Paul, would you please?
Well, I don't think it has to be part of the tool, but I do think having this sheet so does this award sheet now does it present value the loan subsidy so that we can compare it with Grant? Is that what it's doing? Or
no, because in order to do that, we'd have to have the interest rates and everything for those.
Okay.
I'd have to work that in an individual basis, and then. I could figure out how to do that if I did on the, you know, and then compile it. So if you want to, I can put that into the rainbow sheet moving forward.
Well, that'd be helpful for me, and I'm indifferent whether or not you want to include it in the tool or not. Just having the information is helpful for me, but.
Okay. I do want to be respectful that the majority of people did vote to include this in the when they're anonymous. So I'm happy to do whatever.
Paul, I have a question.
Yeah, sorry.
Why are you changing the title of use versus production that we had already, revenue versus award? To me, that makes more sense in just labeling that category right there. Use versus production? On the rainbow sheet, you're using revenue.
Oh, revenue to award. That's true.
You've been pretty constant and consistent, so we can know exactly what you're referring to in the charts and tables.
Thank you. That's a good point. Because it is revenue to award. Yeah.
With your explanation, I understand it better, and I don't have strong feelings whether or not it should be included in the tool or not. If the majority said that they want to include it, I'm happy to include it. I think it's really valuable information, regardless.
And it's fairly easy to make things visible to the board on the yellow sheet or however you want to see it, calculator, wherever you want to see it. So I'm happy to do that.
Also, just a heads up to everyone, I'm going to have to drop off the Zoom just briefly, and then I'll join again for my cell phone. So if you see me disappear for a minute, I'll be back.
All right. Was there? So I guess I don't know how we want to do this. If there's like we want to do a vote or anything, or how? What's the best way to allocate this weighting and to include or not include some of these factors like we were talking about? I want to make sure that everyone's views are expressed.
This will be finalized at the June policy meeting, so perhaps you can send out another survey that some won't take.
Just kidding. Well, we had a pretty good response.
I promise to do it this time.
I really like what you've done there, Paul.
Yeah. Well, I think we're pretty close, right? We're pretty close to 100. We're at like the way you have it right here, we're at 105 points.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I think we can, like, maybe just make a few tweaks right now. If the board can all agree on what the tweaks we are need to make are.
I have been advised by the legal counsel to the board that you can take a vote on its finalization today if you want. Or next time, or in June, which is when we're going to be making all the policy discussion.
Yeah, this is Mayor Baker. I've had my hand up, but I'm just going to say it's hard to do on a Zoom to really have a discussion. I think we need to do it in June at the retreat and have time to sit and discuss it in person.
I support that idea. Thank you.
I like that as well.
Great.
Yeah. Some of the screens are kind of too small, and you cannot even see unless you scroll back and forth to find out exactly what you're trying to decide.
Yep.
Well, so then do we want to table this? Do you want to look at the case studies? How do you want to proceed today?
Let's look at the case studies with it as is.
Okay.
Just to kind of try it out, right? It's like kicking the tires and might help us understand what needs to be tweaked.
Can I make a comment, if I could? Mm-hmm. You know, Paul, you've done an excellent job here. I myself am getting really nervous. I need to go. We had our dam in the river broke, and we've been trying to deal with that all day yesterday, and I've been sending texts, unfortunately, during this meeting. Trying to take care of this. We still haven't received any resolution. I understand now what the people go through. We're trying to get funding to replace this gate. It was unexpected. It's catastrophic. It could bankrupt some of the producers here. And if we could, I would really like to table this and continue this in person in June.
Is that a motion?
That's a motion.
My second.
I have a motion and a second to table. How do you want it? Do you want to roll
call? Can we still look at some of the scenarios and then just not make any decisions till June?
Well,
Scott's going to need to run.
Yeah, myself. I need to go. I'm sorry.
Yeah. But
This is very critical to this area right now, and we're just trying to deal with it. It's still in the river. We can't get it out of the river. We don't know how we're going to pay for it. We're looking at funding sources, and this
I'm so sorry that happened.
Yeah.
Well, can you send this to every one of us so we can play with it? As in, like, as some people do the games on the computers, we can just kind of play it and write down all the information that we need to do and questions that we need to have.
I'm a little hesitant just because it could break everything. But I am very happy to meet with people if they would like to. Okay. And we can talk to another set. Yeah.
Oh, sorry, real quick. Couldn't you make copies of it? A copy of the tool for people to plan?
That's true. Yeah, I could.
And then you can keep yours.
Separate ones.
Yeah, let's get that and send it out.
Or even in a Google deal.
Well, in a Google deal, then you're going to be...
No. Duplicate it, put it in a different file so that it's not connected to the base important one that Paul's doing. But we can dink with it. If we break our version of it, well, maybe that's why it should be a individual copies. That way, if we break it, it's not affecting anyone else.
Because whole month of April, and we have May, that we don't have any meetings. We can play with this and back and forth and call you, ask questions, tweak it what we want, and call each one another to see if they understand better than, you know, I do. That way we have a better preparation for the June meeting rather than just like cold turkey.
Yeah, totally. I can totally do that.
Okay. Thank you.
Hey, that'd be good.
Good suggestion, Christine. Thank you.
Thanks for all your work on this, Paul. I know this is a incredibly complex thing, and having, you know, 18 billion people telling you, you know, in a direction on things, I know is challenging. So nice job trying to pull it all together.
My pleasure. I serve at the board.
Yeah, I really like it. Yeah. Thanks, Paul.
Very good. Where do we go from here? Christine, do you have a comment still?
I did, yes, last one-ish, maybe. Solid maybe. I really wanted to commend Paul on the way he handled this entire process as well. Outreach to all of you in smaller groups to get this tool going has been, I think, a success. And I'm excited for the policy meeting. But Paul has put his heart and soul into this, and I just want to publicly thank him for all the work that he's done. This has been a Herculean effort. So thank you, Paul.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Thank you, Paul.
Mr. Chairman, you need to take a motion. You have a motion in a second. You need to get a vote.
Yep. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Very good. That was to table it until June, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. And it was Bartholomew and who seconded?
I did. Nagy's in it.
Nagy. Okay. Very good. Let's move on to CIB board and policy meeting, June 6th and 7th.
Yep. I just wanted to verify everybody's coming that needs rooms. I'm not getting a room for Greg Miles. Sorry.
Candace, this is Mayor Baker. I don't need a room.
Okay. I'm not getting
I'm going to go over every day.
I would like to sleep in my own bed. Thank you.
I'm going to need
sleep in mine too, but a couple hours is more than I'm probably willing to.
Say that again, Nagy.
Two nights, please. And a dinner.
I will follow up with an email Monday or Tuesday to verify what information that I have received for all of you. It's a group gathering, and I'm going to route that.
Okay.
Just by way of notification in that routing, I'm going to make sure that I know who will be attending the dinner Thursday, because it's hosted by Duchesne County, and they would appreciate a count, I'm quite sure.
If it is kosher, I will attend.
This is Mayor Baker. I'll plan on attending.
Yeah. Thank you.
I'll plan on attending. I don't remember if I turned anything in or not.
With that, thank you. I'll turn the time over to the chair.
Hey, I just want to tell everybody I appreciate you. This has been a great meeting today. Paul, thanks for everything. Staff, each and every one of you, gosh, the work that you do for us, we really appreciate that. But do we still have our normal chair on? Curtis, are you available? Be gone. Okay. Well, then we'll... Oh, Greg, do you have something?
Yeah, I was just going to mention we're planning on doing a tour the afternoon before the meeting starts, and so wanted to invite all of you, if you can make it in a little early, would like to show you what's happening in the basin and show you a couple of projects that have been completed, and we are going to do dinner at the Hideout Steakhouse that night. So if you can make it in, we would love to have you. We'll have a bus tour. The details aren't all hammered out yet, but I will get that information to you in the coming month. But if you can make it, we would love to host you. And so you're going to get a bunch of meals on Duchesne County. We'll make it worth your while. So
that's wonderful.
Do we get any songs?
Yes, I will. I probably won't sing myself, Bruce, but I will find somebody to sing.
I nominate Bruce to sing.
Hey, there we go.
Thanks, Greg.
Yeah, thank you all.
Thank you.
We're excited to host.
Commissioner Taylor, thank you for your leadership this today. Thank you.
Well, thanks. It's easy to work with you guys, so it's great. And I do appreciate each and every one of you. Do we need a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
All right. We are adjourned. Thank you all.
Thanks everyone.
Till we meet again.
See ya.
Great vacation.
Thank you.
Ms. Hansen.